There was a point in time when we were pretty certain that the Earth was at the centre of the universe. It wasn't until the 16th century when a scientist named Nicholas Copernicus shook things up a little. He proposed that the sun was actually at the centre of the universe. And because this idea was so revolutionary, Copernicus and then some of the scientists that followed him after, they copped lots of resistance. Unfortunately, some suffered a great deal at the hands of the authorities because of their position, because of their findings. But eventually, after some years, this big idea was accepted. And when it was accepted, it then brought about a radical shift in the way that humans not only understood the cosmos, but their place in it. There are some insights that can forever shift the way that we understand and we engage with the world that we live in, and this was one of those insights. That's why we sometimes refer to a big shift in perspective as a Copernican revolution, yeah, after good old Copernicus himself. I share that because what we are celebrating tonight led to the greatest Copernican revolution, the greatest paradigm shift in human history. The empty tomb has forever changed how we understand this human journey that we call life, because it means that what Jesus taught is true, that love always wins. Perfect love has indeed destroyed death. Jesus really is the resurrection and the life as he says he is. The cross really is a symbol of victory. You see, the empty tomb means that there is no situation that cannot be redeemed. That God's love and forgiveness really is limitless. That God can and really wants to bring life even from our worst failures, our deepest darkness. The empty tomb suggests that God really is as good as Jesus represented him to be. These are the kinds of insights, when they touch our heart, that revolutionize our understanding and our life. The one key question I want to propose to you tonight is this. Have you seen the empty tomb? Have you really seen it? I don't mean in a picture or on some movie, but have you seen it with the eyes of faith? Has your heart skipped a beat as you looked into that tomb with these eyes of faith and realised that the cold, stiff, dead body of Jesus has been transformed into a new and glorious life? And I've come across a number of people in our parish who have carried tremendous challenges, terminal illnesses, other kinds of deep suffering. But they've maintained a hopeful and a joyful and a generous disposition. And I think that's because they had seen the empty tomb through their eyes of faith. One of our elect tonight, one of those that are going to be received into the church, Eva, she has chosen for her confirmation saint, Saint Margaret Clitheroe. You probably haven't heard much about her. She lived in England when the Catholic Church was being suppressed by the government. She had a wealthy husband and a big house and was secretly hiding priests in her house so that they'd be available to continue to minister the sacraments to people. Eventually, though, she was caught and arrested and imprisoned and ordered to deny her Catholic faith under the pains of death. But she accepted her fate. She stayed true to her God and to her faith, and at the tender age of 29 was killed quite traumatically, quite brutally. In the days leading up to her death, this is what she said. The sheriffs have said that I'm going to die this coming Friday, and I feel the weakness of my flesh, which is troubled at this news, but my spirit rejoices greatly. How could anyone possibly respond in that kind of way at that age when they know what's coming? Margaret had obviously seen the empty tomb herself. That's why. So when we open our hearts, and when our hearts begin to encounter this love that transforms death into life, we are changed and we're enriched in so many ways. But one of the sure signs is joy. That's how you know you've seen the empty tomb. Joy is a steady stream of contentment, of gratitude, of peace. And it comes from a deep and unshakable confidence that Jesus really is as good and powerful as he says he is. That the tomb really is empty. Joy is the fruit of hope. To have joy is to be like that tree planted by the river that the psalmist and the prophet Jeremiah talk about. In the dead of winter and in the peak of summer, they say that the tree keeps on bearing fruit. You know why? Because it's planted by the river. And so it draws its nourishment, it draws its life from a deeper, constant source. The same is true with joy. It's not affected by external conditions because it comes from deep within. It flows from our hope. It's possible for us to be sad and challenged in all kinds of ways, yet still be joyful at the same time. Joy is just one of the gifts to be found in the empty tomb. But there is so much more on offer to us through this gift of Easter. God wants to do a revolution in our hearts and in our lives. But I want to argue tonight that there is part of us that really isn't interested, if we're going to be really honest with ourselves. There's part of us that does not want to see the empty tomb. We're very happy to come to Mass, celebrate the resurrection. We're happy with the idea of new life, of new beginnings. But part of us doesn't really want to hear the full message of Easter. You want to know why? Because we're afraid of change. Sometimes we're terrified of it. Something within us knows that the empty tomb will mess our minds in the best possible way. It'll disturb those neat categories, those ways of thinking that we've developed over time. It'll challenge the limitations that we put on ourselves and on God. It'll invite us into new possibilities that are way outside our comfort zone. Maybe you don't want to see the empty tomb because you're afraid of losing control of your life. You're not sure what will happen if you allow this great power into your heart. Maybe you'll become a little weird. Maybe you'll lose something of who you are if you allow this love in. Maybe others will ridicule you, will reject you. Or maybe you don't want to see the empty tomb because you know that the victory of Jesus will challenge you to be a person of hope. And that means you can't keep complaining. You can't keep playing the victim. And that might be a little scary, letting that go, huh? Or maybe you can't bear to see the empty tomb because it is just too good. This love is terrifyingly good. And deep down, you feel so unworthy of good things. You feel much more comfortable living in scarcity than opening yourself to the abundance of God. Or maybe you don't want to see the empty tomb because you're afraid that if you get your hopes up, you might be disappointed. And you've been disappointed one too many times in your life. You're not sure you want to sort of expose yourself to that again. And then there are probably some of us who just don't want to see the empty tomb because you know that in order to see it, you need to admit that you need it. And that might be a little uncomfortable. You might feel a little too vulnerable being that needy, that weak, perhaps. I'll tell you one reason I hesitate to look at the empty tomb. It's because I know that it reminds me that I do not need to be afraid of failure and rejection. And that means that there is no reason why I shouldn't pursue those things I've been wanting to do for so long but haven't done, because I'm afraid of failure. I'm afraid of people rejecting me. We want to see the empty tomb, but at the same time, we don't want to see it because it threatens our status quo, just like it did with the people in the time of Copernicus. The empty tomb is a call to take responsibility for our lives, because we can with this love and this power. We can. Regardless of what's going on, we can take responsibility. But the sad reality is that many of us would rather sacrifice joy than face the fear of change. We'd much rather chase fleeting moments of happiness rather than a deep and a constant joy that comes from this profound change. That's the story of our world, yeah? We have become experts at pursuing momentary pleasures, chasing one after the other after the other, but we are bankrupt when it comes to true joy. This brings us to the invitation and the opportunity of Easter, and that is to allow the empty tomb to change your reality, to bring about a spiritual revolution in your heart, remembering that there is always more to discover in the empty tomb. I want to offer you two suggestions tonight, two ways that you can open yourself to this deep and profound change which God does in us. The first is to keep your eyes on the tomb. You know, I really wish I could say, look, you just need to say this prayer and the revolution will just happen. I wish I could say that, but it doesn't work that way. It takes time for the reality of resurrection life to dawn on us, to sink in. Tonight we have four people preparing for baptism, four adults. And I'm sure the team in their preparation have reminded you that as powerful as this sacrament of baptism is, it's just the beginning of a lifelong journey. If we want the spiritual revolution, we need to develop a relationship with the one who said he is the resurrection and the life, yeah? That's how it happens, by fostering and deepening in a relation with Jesus. And that means consistent investment in our spiritual journey. Not just going through the motions, not just coming through Mass, saying the odd prayer, but genuinely opening our heart to Christ, pondering over and over this empty tomb and what that means for our life. Maybe you can think of one way post-Easter, post this celebration, that you can invest a little more significantly, a little more genuinely in your spiritual life, that you can reflect more on the tomb. The second thing I want to suggest is to live as if the tomb is empty. Think of just one way you would live differently if you were absolutely sure that Jesus rose from the dead. Just one way that you'd live differently. And then try and live that out as best you can and see what happens. See if that validates the truth of the empty tomb. Fake it until you make it. As an example, because the tomb is empty, yeah? It says that God brings life from our darkness and our suffering. So, if that's really true, that God meets us in our worst, in our lowest, then maybe one thing you can do to live as if the tomb is really empty is to be more real with yourself and with God. Invite God into that dirty, disgusting, dark place, into that deep suffering. Invite him in. Live as if the tomb really is empty. See what that does to your life and through your life. The slightly scary truth is that you have the power to allow God to change your reality. Will you begin that journey tonight? It's your call. It's always your call. If that's an opportunity that you want to take advantage of tonight on this most significant celebration, I want to give you an opportunity to respond now. You see, the life of resurrection is always just a decision away. Yeah. So if you want to invite the power that emptied the tomb into your own heart and your own life, I want to encourage you right now just to stand for a moment where you are. If you want. Don't do it because everyone else is doing it. And you might, if you feel comfortable, just close your eyes for a moment and imagine the empty tomb. Imagine it. In whatever way you would think about it, you would see it. Imagine the empty tomb. And in your heart, just say yes. Say yes. Say yes to God's power that transform the dead body of Jesus into a new and glorious life. Say yes to the God who heals and saves. Say yes to the life that God has created you to live. Jesus, you see the hearts of all your children standing here before you. And in your name, I claim this grace of Easter over their lives.